This week, our episode ends with Peter getting launched into the web. But don't worry, we have a kid sidekick ready to take his place. Welcome to Hyperspace Broadcasts, a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program before watching it and trying to determine if it's worth revisiting or best forgotten. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby. Hello.
And this week we're talking about reboots, season two. So to start the ball rolling with season two, I guess let's talk about it. It's a little weird, honestly. It gets started off with basically season one kind of episodic plot lines, and then around, I think, episode seven. Like the last, from seven to ten, so I guess the last four episodes have this continuous plot line that is pretty different from anything we've seen with reboot so far. And yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I like it. I really like the idea of starting with a just kind of episodic story per episode kind of thing. That's what episodic means, I guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, starting with an episodic kind of structure and then turning into slowly into a more, you know, arc-based plot. I actually really enjoy that in this. Not so much in maybe DBZ, which you could say the first episodes were a little episodic, I guess.
Not really.
I guess it was just more of a filler situation over a main plot line.
Yeah. I would say it's comparative to, like, Deep Space Nine, frankly.
Yeah, actually.
Deep Space Nine starts off pretty much like any other Star Trek series, where you have these self-contained episodes that don't work super well a lot of the time, and then it starts moving into this more arc-based plot that is pretty memorable overall. But
remember when we tried to do a podcast about Deep Space Nine?
Yes, I do.
We never thought of a good name.
No, we did not. I still wish that had managed to get off the ground. I'm still trying to get you to do a Voyager podcast.
When my schedule settles and everything kind of can relax and I can get better at podcasting and managing time. I will consider it.
Fair enough.
Now, reboot, huh? Do you want to go over like a little bit of
a great transition? Yeah.
So reboot, huh?
Yeah, but back to reboot. I think,
I'm going to hit my, icon twice and say reboot, and we're going to transform into reboot suits we used to talk about reboot. Now,
are reboot suits like zoot suits? Like,
I don't even know what a fucking zoot suit is.
Oh, come on, man.
What is it?
I mean, I guess to be fair, I'm not sure how to explain it exactly, but I know what it looks like. It's like it's a suit with usually kind of a long tail. I think that's the main thing. They're usually kind of colorful.
A colorful suit?
Sort of, yeah. I think it's mostly like the cut of the suit that makes it a zoot suit. This is a classic situation where we've waded into the shallow, murky waters of something. I don't know what the fuck it is.
Is it zoot French for damn it? Like zoutelur?
I don't...
Flawless pronunciation.
Are you actually asking me that? Like, I don't know.
Good! Great bit! Yeah. Back to reboot. Beep,
indeed.
Beep, reboot. We're talking about this show.
Okay, let's talk about this show. Let's not
beep,
talk
beep,
about things that we
reboot.
Don't know about either of us anymore.
Hey, what's this thing I don't know about? I don't know. Cool. Reboot.
Yeah, great. So, okay, well, to start off, we've gone through the characters last time, and we kind of did some favorite episode, worst moment of the show for this season. So I think let's do that for the first half, basically. And then after
that,
let's talk about the overall plot stuff that happens in the last arc.
Yeah.
So to start off, what was your favorite episode? Let's start positive.
Oh, I gotta say, I fucking enjoyed this block. Reboot seems to have gone along usually the route that a lot of the better Toonami shows that we watch goes, where it's like the first season kind of sucks, and then you get into it and it's decent. Although yeah, I guess sure. I can only say that about like Ronin Warriors, but that took a lot longer.
Well, and Ronin Warriors, as far as not really season, but you know, the first bit. Gundam Wing kind of as well. Frankly, Dragon Ball Z too. I think that might just be us. Like, I was wondering this the other day, because I feel the same way, and we should talk about this more in depth after the break, but I almost wonder if it's structure. if it's Stockholm Syndrome.
I don't think so for Reboot. I think so maybe for Ronin Warriors.
Possibly.
But
what was your favorite episode of Reboot from this season?
And so, yeah, my favorite episode would have to be episode 5, Painted Windows. It is a fucking insane episode.
Yeah,
Hexadecimal hacks into the archives and starts using a paint program and just completely fucks with all Mainframe. And this episode delivers on kind of the promise of Reboot's premise, where it's like, oh, this is a unique situation. They're in a computer. They can do unique computer things and have cool plot lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they really didn't do that much in season one. They did like, oh, Enzo lowers the clock speed is like kind
yeah,
of the only
the,
thing
the
I can
Enzo
pull.
The smart episode. They yeah. everyone's kind of 8-bit, quote unquote.
Yeah, because he fucks everything up. Like, that's cool. They didn't do it that much in season one. In season two, I think they really start to deliver more interesting plot lines based off of the computer concept. And this is a sterling example. Hexadecimal Hacks starts using this paint program to fuck everything up. And, like, it's really crazy and surreal. And it references so many different art styles.
Yeah, right. And famous artworks. Like, you have the Salvador Dali painting, which I should have looked up the title of, with the melting clocks.
He fucks around with his titles anyway. It's probably called, like, here's a bird that's in the corner of the painting.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's a melted clocks one.
Yeah, Unshian Andalou or something like that.
And like, it's awesome. And there's so many different things. It's such a good episode that Mike the TV shows up and he can't even ruin it.
Yeah, well, that's one of the other things that's crazy about this season is you have several episodes that have Mike the TV, but it's like they figured out how to use this character in a way that's not extremely obnoxious.
Yeah,
like,
he's still obnoxious.
Well, he
still sucks, but they use it.
Yeah,
and they
don't have
bad.
Episodes entirely centered around him either.
Yeah,
that helps a lot.
And part of one thing about this episode is that it's also just really creepy.
Right.
Hexadecimal is legitimately just a freaky character. I mean, besides the whole thing where she just flips her mask around and suddenly she looks fucking evil and angry and like got fangs and shit. It's awesome. I could see why I liked the character as a kid.
I can kind of see that.
And I like the whole chaos aspect to it too. Like, she's not in it for control and taking over like Megabyte. She's just in it to just like go by her own whim and experiment and play with people and play with things and fuck around.
Sure. And I think it's interesting too, like watching the episode Painted Windows, it feels like we made a comparison to the Joker last episode, and I don't necessarily want to go back to that well, but this episode does really feel like an episode of Batman the Animated Series with the Joker. Like, it's just the things that she's doing aren't, you know, like evil and sociopathic. They're just really fucking bizarre and almost trollish.
Yeah. Like, recklessly playful.
Yeah. I think my favorite moment of that episode is there's a point where she decides to paint Megabyte's tower and then sticks a bunch of flowers in it and basically turns his tower into a giant flower pot, like just to fuck with him. And it's so weird and funny. Like,
and he's flipping out and she starts like drawing shit over him, makes him like a ballerina. She basically just like controls a cursor that can draw over the entire city.
Yeah, right.
So it's not like she's flying around. It's just shit's appearing.
Yeah, and starts, you know, changing, like, she's embedding binomes in these famous artworks like The Scream and the Mona Lisa and whatnot. Yeah. It's really interesting. And I think the craziest part of the episode, though, there's two things, really. You said it was creepy, and I totally agree. The creepiest part for me, there's this point where Bob and I think Mike the TV go to Lost Angles, which you might remember is the hilariously punny name of Hexadecimal's hideout. And they find all these gnolls who are just these kind of slug things wearing like 2D Bob masks. Yeah. And there's something about that scene.
They're really demented looking.
Yeah, right. And the masks are like a little fucked up, like the eyes aren't in the right place and stuff. And it's just so twisted in like the kid friendliest way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really interesting. I was genuinely like kind of creeped out by it. Like, it's just so weird. And then like the climax of the episode, Bob removes Hexadecimal's mask using the paint program. And you realize that her face is just a hole that's just spewing light.
Yeah, and she just starts screaming and flipping out.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
And then you have all these masks in the paint program who start talking to Bob and all over each other, you know. And it's so, I mean, I don't want to keep saying, oh, it's so creepy, because it's not exactly fucking, I don't know, Freddy Krueger, who isn't that creepy either, realistically, but you know what I mean.
I mean, your paint program, bitch.
If only. But so creepy isn't really the right word, but it is, like, if I was a kid and I saw that, I would be freaked out for sure. Yeah. Like, no question. That's the kind of thing. I was also a giant wuss when I was a kid, but
I'm a little surprised I wasn't and that I loved it. But
yeah, right.
I remember scenes from this episode. I remember Hexadecimal's mask getting removed and her just like, the face going crazy. And she's just like screaming and the masks are all kind of like begging him to put it back on. They're like, no, that was the only thing that could control her power. If she's going to go insane and like take over, like, you know, overwhelm everything.
Yeah, right.
It's like, and oh, shit.
Yeah. And then at the end, they get the mask back on her and she's just kind of curled on the floor like comatose.
Yeah.
And it's just this really long shot of her just lying there, not moving, with like Bob and Mike talking over her. It's just something really kind of sad about it. I don't know.
Yeah, and the way the episode ends is like, oh, I have a good idea. And he like leaves Mike TV with her, and he's just like putting all this obnoxious dumb programming on in this dark room where the TV is the only light, and it's just casting on her, and she's still just like comatose, just like slumped over in a chair, and it's just like so kind of freaky and whoa.
Yeah, it's eerie. You were going to say that eerie, is like a really good word for it. It is it's for an episode of a kid's show, it is surprisingly bizarre and kind of dark in a weird way. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely a good episode. I'm going to tell you about my favorite episode, which is the episode Bad Bob, which is episode 4. And when I first saw this title, when we were like looking at the season, I was excited because I expected it was going to be an episode where Bob becomes evil. I was like, oh, cool. I like that kind of stuff usually in shows. It is way better in that it involves a game that Megabyte has corrupted somehow. And essentially it's just a Mad Max. Like, it's just a Mad Max parody.
Yeah.
And
Bad Bob.
Yeah, of course. And so this show has had a lot of reference kind of humor and that sort of stuff so far. This episode is the first one where I basically understood every reference they were making. And of course it helped that they were referencing like Star Wars and Star Trek and other shit that I've watched, of course. But it was just pretty satisfying in that note. And of course the Mad Max reference was great too. But I think the funniest thing about it is that you have this ridiculous kind of metal guitar riff playing in the background for basically the entire episode.
Like, yeah,
Like, every time it cuts back to the game, you've just got this, you know, like... And it continues through every bit of that. And there's something about it to me that was so funny because it's so unlike the music in the rest of the show that like I wanted to see the music video for that particular track so bad.
Well, and it's also... It's also another one of the improvements of this season shows up in this episode too, is I would say the action and the direction of just the visuals of the show, direction in general, is a lot better.
Yeah.
And watching basically, well, what do you know? It's the whole thing's a car chase, you know, watching this kind of relentless, continuous car chase. That's just like, oh, when is this going to let up? Like, it's just like, it's not comparable to Fury Road, but it made me feel in the same way a little bit when I'm watching it and I'm just like, oh, this just won't fucking stop. Like, it just keeps going. Yeah, like, there's more and more car chase.
It is weirdly Fury Road-esque, though. Like,
yeah.
Which is, you know, obviously this predates it by quite a bit and is more of a Road Warrior parody.
Yeah.
But
it references to Road Warrior.
Yeah, but it's pretty funny. Like, yeah, like for example, Fong is the gyro captain.
Yep.
But the way it works is essentially Megabyte has this, somehow thanks to the corrupted game, he has some of, you know, Mainframe's core energy on this giant, you know, semi truck that has his face as the cab.
Yeah.
Which looks surprisingly good. For that description.
Yeah, right.
Kind of, what's that Stephen King movie that he directed where the machines turn on people? And the whole soundtrack's AC/DC? Why can't I think of this?
Something, it's got a dumb name. It's Roaring Trucks, I think.
I don't think that's it. I'm gonna look it up, but anyway, so, you know, the truck's driving across this desert and it has to get to this one area where Megabyte is going to, I suppose, steal the energy from the core, and they can't let that happen. So Bob steals the truck, but really the thing about it that's Fury Road-esque is that the entire episode is quite literally driving this truck through the desert, through a canyon, and then turning around and driving back in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Back through the canyon and smashing through a thing in the canyon. It's very Mad Max. I mean, obviously.
I enjoyed it a lot. I watched these episodes with my girlfriend also, like, just because I was over visiting her and she had never seen Reboot really. She watched Toonami, but she never really bothered watching Reboot. And then she was watching this. She's like, is that show with the green people? It's like, yeah. Yeah, that's the one. And we're watching it, and she's like, and I was like, because I was like, brace yourself, because this might just suck.
Yeah, based on expectations from season one, like, this might just not be fun at all to watch.
And of course, it's hard to look at. And then we were watching it, and we were both getting into it, and she's like, yeah, this is actually pretty cool. Like, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just like, just because it keeps going, it holds your attention. There's, of course, there's dumb jokes and there's dumb shit to it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in general, I would say, well, yeah, we've said it many times already, but this season is better than season one by a long shot.
Yeah.
By the way, that movie was Maximum Overdrive, of course.
That's right.
And the Megabyte truck reminds me of the Green Goblin truck from that movie. That's the
one that
reference I was trying to make that fell apart. No, that's a steamroller.
What a movie. Fucking Stephen King wasn't he like coked out the
whole
time?
Of course.
Like insanely coked out.
It's the only movie he's ever directed that was
for a reason.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's a weird movie. Emilio Estevez.
I believe he also said there's like a cut of that movie that's like X-rated and he's like, I'm never gonna release this.
Sure.
It's just like gross, too violent, stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. All right, so I guess now that we've talked about, well, before we get to the plot, the interest in plot stuff, what was your personal low point of this this season?
Geez, I mean, I'm trying to think. And that's crazy. I had to choose between low points last time.
Yeah, right. Well, do we want to do what we did last time? And I can tell you mine, because...
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so the thing with this this season is, although the episodes are generally pretty entertaining, I found that several of them ended on a really weak note. The first episode in particular, and again, this is the first episode of this season. We don't know what to expect, and it's this crazy episode where Megabyte almost wins. He basically kills Fong at one point. And, you know, he has this whole plot that he disguises himself as an upgrade so that they let him into the core room and tries to take over the core. There's this stuff with Dot in, like, a giant exo suit, which is pretty cool, fighting Megabyte.
Yeah.
But the episode ends with Fong saying about the new upgrade that they get, the actual upgrade. It ends with Fong saying, quote, "Maybe this time I'll get a new modem," end quote. Which is like...
Is that a joke?
Not really. I don't even know what it's supposed to be. Like, I guess it's a joke. It's like the... it's like Splinter's jokes at the end of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. Like, it just... You know, I guess it's kind of a joke, but it's not really. And it's not... That's it. That's the
Cowabunga.
End.
Cowabunga.
Yeah, right. Like, great. The ending. That's better, though. At least that makes sense. Ugh. So that sucked. That was my personal low point, I think. Which, to be fair, was at the end of a good episode. So, I'm grasping at straws for low points here.
Yeah. And I assume there's episode 2, High Code, also has a pretty dumb ending. It's a cool episode because it's like... This code master from the net is like comes in and he's looking for Bob. Or no, he's looking for another code master.
Right.
He's like hiding in mainframe. And he's this really bizarre looking like mantis robot cyborg creature. And
he's kind of with a Ponda Baba face.
Yeah, yeah. He's pretty cool looking. The only thing I remember from this episode is this one time where someone's gonna fight, but then like he's like, "All right, I'm gonna fight," and then he his legs unfold and he gets super tall and it's supposed to be intimidating, I guess. And I just thought it was kind of funny.
Which also I will point out that this is one of the episodes that we watched together. And throughout the whole episode, Peter's like, his legs are going to extend at some point. His legs are going to extend and he's going to get super tall. And then he finally did. And we're both like, "Whoa!"
And it didn't really make that much of a difference.
Yeah, it didn't.
It is funny. It's just like, yeah, I'm taller now.
Yeah, super intimidating.
But that episode has a weak ending because, it's just like Bob tries to defend his friends, you know, because he looks like the Codemaster's going to win and, like, take over because
it's like a Binome Junkyard owner.
Oh, that's right.
And that the Codemaster, who, to my knowledge, isn't named, is going to obviously beat him. No, Talon is the name of the Codemaster he's looking for.
Oh, that's right.
Which is the Junkyard owner. But, yeah, Bob steps in, Enzo and Dot step in, and it's this after-school special, like, if you're gonna fight my friend, you gotta go through me. Then the big bully says, "Oh... You know what? I don't know. A bully wouldn't say this, but, you know, the
Codemaster... I've had a real change of heart.
Yeah, you know what? I've had a real change of heart. You guys are really good friends. I understand the value of friendship." And then he leaves. And I'm not exaggerating. That is almost exactly how the episode ends. It is that, again, like, it's a wet fart of an ending. It's just the end.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh. For an otherwise... Another quite good episode.
Yeah, right.
I will say the individual plot lines for this, the stakes tend to be a lot higher than in season one, where it's like, of course, there's like a talent show, or it's like, oh, these games or something happened. But like in this one, the threat for every episode is like Megabyte taking over, or...
Yeah, pretty much. Megabyte gets a lot of screen time in this season.
And makes a lot of power plays, which we'll get to.
And of course, the also I want to point out that the Codemaster character, I realized as I was seeing him, like, I drew that character all the time when I was a kid. That was another one that I definitely drew constantly, probably just from the commercials, because I don't remember ever seeing that episode. An episode I do remember is the episode where these two games merge, and it's like a military game and a dinosaur game. And it becomes all these ridiculous, like a T-Rex with a tank turret for a head, just BS like that, which of course kid I thought was awesome, but I would say is maybe one of the weaker episodes of this season.
And so I guess now we should go into the...
The plot stuff.
The plot stuff. And episode 6 kind of starts the plot stuff in that we were introduced to a new main character. And there's a weird, huge... backstory dump, like, all of a sudden they start talking about, like, Enzo's depressed in the beginning of the episode because he doesn't have anyone to play with, and they're just, like, Bob comes back and he's like, oh geez, yeah, like, it's a real shame since all the sprites were erased after the accident with Twin City was destroyed. And it's like, what?
Yeah, right. It's
never been mentioned ever.
Yeah, it's this kind of dark backstory stuff about Dot and Enzo's dad dying, essentially.
You're drawing some connections, Dot connections. It's just like, I guess, yeah, he may have done a bad experiment that caused this other city to explode or get wiped or something.
Yeah, something like that.
But a lot of the other sprites who were like Enzo and kids and stuff like that were erased. So that's why there's only like Dot and Enzo and Bob as far as like advanced sprites.
Yeah, and Fong arguably. And like the villains, but whatever. But that's interesting backstory. The weird thing about this episode is that it uses that backstory simply to set up the fact that Enzo is lonely. And he goes into this game.
Yeah.
He meets a game sprite named Andrea, and the AI in her name is capitalized because humor, I guess.
Because AI.
Yeah. I derisively say humor as though we're like the fucking cream of the crop.
Dude, we're so fucking funny. Also, isn't it Andrea? I mean, it looks like it should be Andrea or whatever, but they say Andrea.
Yeah, I think they say Andrea, whatever.
And she's a kid. She's a kid like Enzo, but she's all...
Yeah, right. Because
it's an aquatic game. She's all got all this aquatic gear. Like,
she has like a starfish on her head.
Mermaid-esque, yeah. And like a weird crossbow on her arm, or harpoon gun.
Right, yeah. No, it's a crossbow. It's like a... I don't know. It's like, to make another Mad Max reference, it's like the wrist crossbows that Humongous's gang had.
God, there's a fucking Lord Humongous binome also, which was just excellent.
Yeah, that was great.
That was the best binome. It's the Lord Humongous binome.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so the episode with Enzo and Andrea, you know, honestly, there's not much to speak of with it. The only important thing is that it introduces Andrea, and Enzo introduces himself to her as a guardian, so, you know, he's just lying to her, which is great.
It was kind of funny, telling stories of he was Bob, and like, as if Bob was Enzo, and he's like, yeah, it's so funny, my friend Bob, and then like, he just kind of gets, I don't know, it, regardless.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to it, it's irrelevant. The point is that it introduces the new character, Andrea. And some backstory, which never really comes up again, to be fair.
Yeah,
at least not yet.
Backstory being used to, only to set up that Enzo's,
Enzo's lonely
is ridiculous.
It's really
like,
weird.
You'd think they would at least like set up something to do with their father or the history.
Right.
No.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a really interesting flashback episode or something, or like anything. But it's like tragic backstory for the most minimal payoff possible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care that Enzo's lonely, frankly.
But yeah, and Andrea, who's a game sprite, like, finds some way to copy herself on Enzo's icon. Some, you know, excuse, reason, whatever.
Yeah, some techno babble to get out of the game.
And she she kind of, yeah, she makes it out of the game and then becomes her own sprite and becomes a citizen of Mainframe.
Yeah, which so. I will say has maybe my favorite dialogue exchange in the history of, like, hand-waving shit, which is that Andrea explains to Enzo how she managed, she, you know, like, copied herself onto his PID and then, you know, like, piggybacked on his program or some shit. Mm-hmm. And Enzo's response is, "You can do that?" To which she replies, "Apparently," which is just...
It's pretty like, good.
It's like a master class in saying, "Eh, fuck it."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it works.
Oh, man. So next episode. Next episode's pretty crazy. Not a bad one.
Yeah, well, let's... I want to give more of an overview of this stuff.
That's true.
So basically what happens is the mirror breaks. Inside it is this web creature that looks like an iTunes visualizer, pretty much.
Kind of gets like black out. Tentacles and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The way it moves is like a fractal kind of visualizer for sure.
Yeah, right. So it gets out of the mirror because it shatters. It attaches itself to Hexadecimal, kind of like the symbiote that creates Venom eventually in Spider-Man lore.
Pretty much exactly. Like, it turns
to
black.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
cooler.
Direct reference.
And
like,
she's like got... I mean, she's got her fangs the whole time, and she's, like, super evil.
Yeah, so it does that. All of these nulls kind of glom onto her in order to form this giant, like, collection of nulls that they call Nullzilla. Fortunately, Fong has a backup plan already in place for just this kind of occurrence, which happens to be... Yeah.
Like, really? For this? You have a plan?
Yeah, right.
Yep. He's just like, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and the plan happens to be a bunch of Sentai costumes and essentially, you know, Sentai-style vehicles. They form a giant robot to fight the Nullzilla. And, you know, they beat Hexadecimal. The web creature flies off and ends up infecting Megabyte. Then in the next episode, Megabyte and Hexadecimal merge into Gigabyte, who's super powerful and is draining energy from people. They beat him somehow. Mouse shows up. Then you've got this episode where Mouse is hunting down the web creature, which is kidnapping citizens and feeding on them. This episode is called Trust No One and is just... a huge X-Files fan fiction, essentially.
Yeah, through and through.
It is, yeah.
They have a Binome, Mulder, and Scully. The Binome Scully is actually apparently voiced by Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, which is great because while watching the episode, I was like, man, that sounds exactly like Scully. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Before realizing that it was Scully. So, nice work. But yeah, that episode is essentially a reboot / X-Files crossover fan fiction. Like, that's what it is. But it works in the universe. Anyway, they find this web creature. It kind of breaks into the sky and creates this portal to the web, which the next episode, which is the final one of the season, Web World War, you know, they have all these guys arranged in order to shut down any web creatures that come through the portal because they're super dangerous. They have to employ Megabyte and Hexadecimal to help shut down the portal, but Megabyte betrays them and launches Bob into the portal himself. So yeah. Bob is now lost in the web. Enzo has been made a deputy guardian, and Megabyte and Hexadecimal essentially control Mainframe.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where it ends. That's where the whole season ends. And that episode's crazy because, like, the whole episode is, like, everyone mobilizing and these, like, this whole huge army battle. It reminded me of, I mean, it's kind of like Star Fox, that one Star Fox level where everyone's flying around shooting each other. Just because it's
like
lots
every
of, like,
Star Fox level?
Fuck you. It's like the Star Fox 64 levels where you're on the shitty ones where you're fighting Star Wolf and you're, like, on the block map and you have to, like, go around in circles and maneuver and it sucks.
Okay,
but,
sure.
Where there's this one where, like, a big ship's come down and a bunch of shit's flying around. Whatever, fuck you. yeah, it was really cool. Lots of like mobilization, and like army and like fighting and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, weapons. And also it's the kind of thing that I knew instantly while seeing it as a kid. I was just all about because
yeah,
you know, it's a bunch of like spaceships essentially in formation flying around shooting at monsters. That's just, you know, the kind of thing that appeals to the child in me so much.
Also, when they form Gigabyte because Hexadecimal's weakened, they're like, oh well, like it kind of makes Megabyte the dominant force in the fusion, but like if they when she regains her power, or you know, her half regains her power, like he's gonna have full access to all this crazy shit. Yeah, fuck you.
Sure.
But also,
go on.
Later on, they also reference a Guardian, like what, coalition or something like that. The Guardian.
Yeah, right. There's this kind of board of Guardians who are, you know, in this boardroom and in shadows, and at one point
Turbo.
Yeah, at one point it's
the American Gladiator
implied that they're going to blow up Mainframe in order to destroy the web creature because it's super dangerous. And yeah. I guess the nuclear option is the only one.
And it's not directly stated. Like, it's definitely, as an adult, I pick up on it pretty quickly. It's like, okay,
yeah,
that's what Bob means. Like, but they don't explicitly state that, like,
we're gonna blow up the whole city.
Yeah, that
I feel like they get pretty close to just saying it outright.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah, I mean it's implicit enough for me to pick up on as an adult. I probably could have gotten it as a kid if I was a little smarter.
Yeah, right.
But
I mean, and the thing that's interesting too is that I apparently, and this is just based on some stuff I've read, but apparently the second, or I guess the third and fourth seasons of Reboot are a bit darker, partly because the show was canceled by ABC and then picked up somewhere else. So, you know, they didn't have to deal with network censorship as much.
Yeah.
So kind of a Dragon Ball Z situation in that regard, not dealing with censors nearly as much and being able to go a little bit darker.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because these last episodes get pretty dark. I mean, you have the heroes allying with the main villains of the show up to this point, just out of necessity. You have Bob being basically thrown away as a character, leaving the person who's supposed to take care of Megabyte as a child.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have the Guardian Council being kind of sinister themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Gigabyte's basically like grabbing and killing guys. I mean, he's draining them of their energy, and they're still kind of alive. kind of reminded
me of,
well,
they all come back. Like,
yeah, yeah. But like when they're drained of their energy and just like thrown to the ground, but they're still kind of like eyes are moving. Kind of reminded me of the Dragon Ball Z thing when Frieza would like kill the Mechians, but they'd still like edit eye movements onto them.
Yeah, sure. I could see that.
Yeah. He's still like rampaging through town. It's like, it seems like he should be killing these characters, but he's not really. Yeah, it is generally much darker. Well, what do you say we go on to our break and from there go on to our main reactions, overall reactions, and bet making?
Yeah, of course. You read my mind, Peter.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Michael, and welcome to The Break. As always, halfway through the episode, or in this case, probably a little more than half. Just here to tell you about some other ways you can support the podcast, other than listening to it, as you are now. You can subscribe on Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, obviously, or our host site, Blueberry, that's Blubrry. Subscribing, of course, lets us know that you're listening. It gives us kind of a morale boost. And, you know, you'll get the episodes when they come out as opposed to waiting for some reason.
And hey, leave a rating on iTunes too if you like. Preferably a good one.
Yeah, that would be nice of you.
Yeah, good pandering.
You can also interact with us on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/HBpod or Twitter at HBpod. We tend to post videos, screenshots, usually with some sort of slightly funny observation, sometimes with a very funny observation, I guess. That comment has not been peer-reviewed, so I'm not sure if that's really accurate.
Man, these are never not going to be awkward, huh? Yeah, nope. Well, our next episode will be up on June 14th, 2017, so
2017,
get at us then. It's yeah. 2017. It's important to tell the year, because then people looking back will realize this is not a timely podcast. we'll be back for our thoughts on this block in just a moment.
All right, we are back, and let's get right into it. Peter, what are you thinking about this season of Reboot? What are your thoughts?
I'm not kidding. I fucking loved it. I watched some episodes alone and enjoyed it. Like, that's not something that I could have done last season.
Yeah, certainly. That's something that you didn't do last season.
Shut up. There's... I may have missed out on half an episode last season. There's a... the references are just better and more on point. The writing is better. The jokes are funnier. Mm-hmm. There's less, like, just random techno-babble jokes where it's like, oh, we just replaced a word with another word because it's stupid. Except, like, bitmaps. They use bitmaps.
Yeah,
like, oh, man, it really saved my bitmaps. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I think generally and like just the episode's a lot more interesting and they do more with the computer premise, namely with Hexadecimal's episode.
Yeah, right.
The corrupted game episode, the games colliding episode. They do like these different weird things. And like the whole internet thing, the whole like arc towards the end, like some of the fun reference stuff, like the Sentai episode. Genuinely made for an enjoyable season, and I'm pretty damn psyched to get to the next one, especially since the next season I remember being pretty fucking buck wild. As a kid, I really loved it. That's the one where like I really tape that shit and watch it. So I'm eager to see what's next.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is I will say that this is one of the podcasts that we have recorded as close to the end of us actually watching the thing we were watching, because for some reason that I really can't put my finger on, more than any other show that we've watched so far, I am really eager to start watching Reboot again. Like, and to be fair, part of it's because the end of this season was such a cliffhanger. Probably a lot of it, too, is just due to the fact that breaking it up by season, you know, we're having that kind of built-in anticipation instead of, you know, kind of arbitrarily blocking it out.
Yeah, yeah. The excitement and hype follows a natural arc, or not a natural arc, but a designed arc.
Yeah, right. So that probably has something to do with it. But yeah, like, I mean, we were watching it last night and we got to the last episode and finished it off. And there was part of me that was like, let's just keep watching this. Like, fuck recording the podcast. Yeah. I just want to keep watching this show.
And there's so many like cool things they do in the next season, too, that I'm like tertiarily aware of. Like, of course, there's the adult Enzo that's totally insane and badass. And it seems to take a much darker turn. Which would be really cool for Reboot, really interesting at least. And also, I peeked ahead once just to see that they the next episode, the intro of the next episode is Megabyte doing the narration.
Right,
and it's basically an evil version of Bob's opening narration. He's like, I come from the net. I'm a fucking virus and I kick ass.
I wish that was literally what he said. That would make this the best show ever.
Yes. Man, they really took a darker turn.
Yeah, it got picked up by HBO. And then they decided to start swearing in the opening credits.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Oh, man. But my thoughts are mostly the same. I watched a few episodes completely alone. I don't know why I emphasize that so much, but
I don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. I watched them completely alone in my bed. It was depressing, but it was also kind of fun because they were decent, actually, and I didn't... Like, Mike TV isn't as annoying. That alone is, like, some kind of weird miracle.
It is, it is. And he's still the character. Like, it's not like they made him a completely different character. He's still the annoying piece of shit, but he's just less bad. Less egregious, perhaps.
But yeah, I mean, in general, the villains feel more active. They're doing more interest and stuff. We have the main characters. Like, the voice acting's better. Everything about it seems better. And that's a thing that happens, obviously. First seasons are usually kind of rocky. We get into the second season, the show knows what it's doing. I think they got a little bit more leeway with censors. Mm-hmm. Even in season two, like, the arc stuff is cool. It's cool. I like it. I like this season. I'm excited to see where it goes.
I suspect the animation's improved too. The facial animations, while still a little weird, are less awkward overall.
Right. Yeah.
There's less scenes of just like characters slack jogging in the background, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess let's get into the final, I guess, idea. So the rating, if you will. So, So what would you say? Is this a visit, a revisit, or best left in the past this season?
You know, I don't want to be the guy who gives them out like candy, but I'd say this is a visit. I thought it was quite good, and I think both combined with the nostalgia factor, well, nostalgia factor would make it a revisit, I guess, but, like, ignoring the nostalgia factor, but, like, the factor of, like, going back and seeing old 3D animation and seeing a show that was very popular and the first show that really did that, paired with, like, what I found to be a genuinely enjoyable show, I think I would recommend it as a visit. Maybe slightly conditional on those terms, like, oh, if you're interested in the past and stuff like that. But I think they do some cool storytelling premises and have some cool design and references. I know references are, like, kind of overdone nowadays and maybe in general. But in that hexadecimal episode, I think they did it really well because it's all in the background. Most of it's in the background. And it's not really distracting so much as it's part of the aesthetic.
And also it helps that, I mean, for me personally, that the references in that episode are all culture references instead of pop culture references. Whoa, I fucked that word up. References. Pop culture references. You know, it's art, not movies and TV. Yeah, there's something about that elevates it a little bit, which makes me sound really effete, but... I also just use the word effete, so maybe
I'll tell you what makes you sound effete. That fucking word. I don't even know what it means.
Wilfred.
But I can guess.
Yeah, so I'm going to be harsher, as I often am, and I'm going to say that I'll give it an unconditional revisit.
Okay.
I will say, if you watch this show, this season is going to be the first one so far, that actually... is kind of worth it to go back to. Yeah. I'm not sure I would recommend it to someone who has no knowledge of the series or love of the series, but definitely if you remember Reboot and you have any interest in checking it out, season two is where to start. Fuck season one. Season one
absolutely
sucks.
Fuck season one. Season two is better. Just watch the Town Little Night Guitar Battle and you're set for season one. Skip right into
which we posted on our Twitter. So
hey, guess what?
Go there.
Oh, and I don't know. Did we mention last episode that all of this show is up for free legally on ShoutFactoryTV.com?
No, we did not. Which I was going to mention, and I totally forgot.
Yeah, it's totally free, totally legal. There are ads, I guess.
There are ads.
But
yeah, it's free. Awesome. You can get it there. And
Check
Shout Factory TV has a lot of other stuff that's interesting. Like Elvira, Mystery Science Theater episodes, some weird Sentai stuff.
Oh,
just doing an unsolicited ad for Shout Factory TV.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, it's a nice resource to have to be able to watch these old episodes of Reboot, you know, easily.
Yeah, certainly.
My PS4 through the browser and shit like that, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right. Do sound like we're shilling for them. But
well, whatever. Yeah. I don't mind. It's not like we're getting paid. It's fine. So, we gotta settle the bet.
Fuck you. Stupid bet.
Which is to say that I won. Bob says, I don't think so. 4 times throughout these 10 episodes.
Plus,
it is said by Enzo once.
It. Yeah, Enzo says it. Slash says it after Hack gets killed for some reason.
Yeah, after Hack gets drained by Gigabyte.
It was hilarious because we thought, while we were watching the last episode, we thought Doak had chosen 5 or had to have 5 to win. And so we were at 4 and we're just waiting and we're like, oh man, Bob's gone. No one's going to say it. And the last line of the episode is Enzo saying, 2 viruses take over my system? I don't think so. And we just start like kind of screaming. It's so funny. And it's like, oh no, like, actually,
course,
it was 4.
Of course I didn't win. Great.
Yeah.
And then
and Enzo
checked
rubs
the
it
tape.
In your face. Yeah, check the tape and it's actually 4. So, oh man. Yeah.
Yeah. So we need a bet for this, this block. By the way, we're going to be doing the first 8 episodes of season 3 since it's 16 episodes. It's kind of too much to handle for one block for us.
Especially
so we're going to do 8,
be,
split it in 2.
Yeah. So season 3, part 1 will be coming up next. But what do we do for a bet?
Do you know if there are other variations of the opening? Did you like check any other episodes to see if there were other Megabyte openings?
I know there are other variations of the opening. For other seasons, and maybe there are other variations for season 3. I imagine there probably is. I've only seen, there's like a list of all the different openings on YouTube, like chronological order.
Right.
I only watched up through to the next opening, which is the Megabyte one, which I think only is like for a couple episodes.
Right. Well, how about this? This is maybe a weird bet, but let's bet on how many times they have a different opening for this next season.
Okay.
By which I mean not Bob's monologue. So if it's Megabyte 3 times, that's 3. If it's like Megabyte 3 times and hexadecimal once, that's 4.
But what if like, because I think it might be like an Enzo monologue for most.
Then that
of it.
Would be 8 times, I guess.
So we're gonna bet on how many times they don't have Bob doing a monologue.
Yeah, they have someone else riffing on Bob's monologue, basically.
Okay, fine.
I think that's interesting. And I'll pick first because I won, giving you the advantage. Yep. I'm going to go 5.
I will go 8.
All right, cool. So that's the bet for next week.
Wait, there's 8 episodes total. It's not the whole season. Let me change that. Jeez. Well, it's. I don't think it's going to be Bob for almost any of it. I'll go. And if it's not Bob for any of it, then it would be 8. I'll go.
Yeah.
7.
All right, 7. Fine by me. Well,
cool.
let's close it out now that we have the bet done.
Yeah,
this has
let's
been
check this shit out.
Hyperspace Broadcasts. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week as we take down the first 8 episodes of Reboot Season 3.
Beep boop, reboot.
Hey, just here for some acknowledgements. First off, the bumpers this week were taken from Reboot Toonami Bumpers, uploaded by Toonami Fan on YouTube. The opening and closing music, as always, is Vapor Dive In by Onatech off the album Onatech Instrumentals, Volume 6. You can find more of their music on SoundCloud, and I recommend that you do, because it's pretty awesome stuff, as you are probably realizing right now. Rights were secured through Jamendo.